Support for Ace on the House comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday. But at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority is the safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/ACE to learn more. Right, Matt?
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. For those of you who caught my live stream stand-up recently, you know we partnered with Live by Live to make that show available free of charge. And Live by Live has so much more to offer. Remember what MTV used to be when M stood for music? That's what Live by Live is, but it's much better. The all-in-one music app provides live streaming concerts, thousands of streaming radio stations, expertly curated and in every genre of music, podcasts like The Adam Carolla Show, and tons of original music and entertainment content. Our friends at Live by Live offer to give fans of my podcast 2 months free of Live by Live Plus, which gets you no ads and unlimited audio skips. Just go to LiveXLive.com and search for Adam Carolla, or get the LiveXLive app. That's LiveXLive.com, or download the LiveXLive app to start listening to music and watching the very best concerts.
Well, hot roof deck talk today, hot garage door talk today.
Hot modular panel roofing that you pulled out of nowhere and made it happen. And also a reference to the Hungarian culture through the great dish goulash.
Oh, I miss Laszlo. Yeah. We call them Lotsy. All right, first I'll tell you about Tommy John, the secret to staying sweat-free this summer. Tommy John, summer-ready, ultra-breathable underwear and bras. I'm wearing my Tommy John underwear right now. I'm wearing my Tommy John t-shirt and my Tommy John underwear. This stuff is the best. It dries so fast. I hit that rowing machine. I hit my rowing machine about 9:30 every night. I don't finish till 10 o'clock at night. I'm covered with sweat. I walk around in my Tommy John's with my jogging shorts over them, and it just dries. It just dries right on me. I go to bed, and it's dry, man.
Air dry is what
air
you're saying.
Yeah. Dry. Mm-hmm. To air dry is human. Upgrade to Tommy John, and get it today. Super breathable designs and just the best. And they got great loungewear as well. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guaranteed. No adjustment needed. Tommy John, right, man?
For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off site-wide. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off site-wide. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
This is Carolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house.
Get it on. Got to get on. A judgment. Got to mend it. Get on.
Welcome. Those people get it on all the time.
Stromer's over there.
Yeah, he is.
And welcome to Ace on the House. What are you working on, Stromer?
Well, here's what I have, Adam. I'm dealing with the COVID on two fronts. Number one, my daughter is hanging out with a friend whose dad was a COVID denier. And of course, he now has it along with his wife. Can't smell, can't taste, has the fever. My daughter was with the kid 2 days ago, and then again in a car another day after that. So she's now getting tested, and we're like, fuck, why didn't you just put the fucking mask on, man? So that's one. And now I'm taking my mom, right after this hot podcast, out to get her pacemaker replaced. So I'll be in the hotbed of COVID Central.
So the parents, how old are the parents?
Parents are probably 37, 38. Young parents.
They both got
the guy, you know,
they both got it.
Both got the COVID. Yeah.
And the symptoms, and so they're having the symptoms.
The fever and the no taste and the no smell.
But how long they had it for, and how are they recovering okay?
This will be the third day that the guys had it, so don't know. It's only 3 days in. But, you know, now what are you doing in this house? Do you put my daughter in a fucking cage? What do you do? I don't know.
Well, I'm maybe one of the few people who thinks this way, but I just assume everyone is going to be exposed to it. And if you're exposed to it, you'll either have no symptoms or some symptoms, or it'll affect or hit everyone in a slightly different way. And if you're old, now we got a situation. If you're youngish and healthy-ish, I think you just you just get it. And then it just goes through you.
And so what do I do with a 88-year-old woman with compromised immune system living in my office? What do I do?
Well, that's the situation. That's the conundrum. So my situation is I don't have that. So it's just me and my wife and then the kids, and the kids play with the other kids. And then my feeling is if I get it, I get it. But right. I don't have my dad or mom living in my office. So for you, you're going to have to take precautions. But your daughter got tested.
She's getting tested right now today. Yeah. And so she would be 3 days, 4 days after exposure to the kid whose dad has it.
Right.
So it may be too soon. You know, who the hell knows? It might not show up now.
Yeah.
But the even better news is now that we've been doing the remote broadcast, I can at least be filmed and you guys can tape the sound of my ventilator while I'm on the other end of this podcast.
You are going to be fine because you're from Viking stock.
Well, that's right.
I think this thing is much less deadly than we're painting it out to be, or that the news are talking about. It seems to be, I think it's more contagious and less deadly. So I agree. I sort of just think everyone's going to get it or be exposed to it at some point. I mean, all those marches, all those pool parties on the 4th of July. I mean, all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, it just has to be. It just has to be right. That everyone is exposed to it. And now, I don't know, the average age of the person that's infected is like 30 now. So it's like all these young people are getting it and they don't even know they have it. They're just getting hit.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting to me is the change in cultural norms around the construction business. Cause I'm doing this remodel now, and every guy who's Hispanic who comes and works has a mask on, and I don't request it, but they're all masking up. So it's showing up in that community as well. People aren't taking this for granted, I don't think, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, but this is just me, I think at the end of the day, the gloves, the masks, and all that stuff, and even the lockdown, I think at the end of the day, people are going to just figure out that it just hit, it passed through, it affected certain people differently than others, and all the stuff we did didn't really make a difference. I mean, they're starting. It's like going back to school. LA Unified doesn't want to open the schools, and many other countries schools never closed. What's the difference? You know, we keep talking about Sweden. And
well, it's like we all stayed in for months, and now we're out, and we're back where we were, if not worse. So, what was the point of staying in originally? Because we're all here now, anyway.
Yeah, it's like saying. Right. To me, and I get the flatten the curve and all that stuff, but I'm not so sure any of this stuff would have been overwhelmed anyway. We had hospital ships and, you know, and triage hospitals put in parks and stuff like that. They never even used them. They sent the hospital ships away. To me, the lockdown, it seems like somebody said, you need hip replacement surgery. So no jogging for 3 months. And you went, okay. And you didn't jog for 3 months. And now you went, okay, now I'm going to go jog. And they're like, right. Oh, well, you still need a hip. Now yeah. You still need a hip replacement. It's like, okay, well, what did the 3 months sitting home do then?
Right.
It didn't heal your hip. It was just you staying off of it for 3 months.
Right.
All right. Brian is 40. He's from Madison, Wisconsin. He has one of my least favorite questions. Drainage.
Ooh, Madtown.
You know me. I like door-centric questions, not drainage questions.
Well, and we're also at a bit of a disadvantage because we're not in Wisconsin where it gets, 15 feet of snow and then it's 100 degrees. They've got a whole different scenario with water. But let's hear what he has to say.
Well, yeah, we come from a flat roof environment. Devin's got a question about vinyl flooring, which I like better. All right. I'm going to talk to Devin first. Devin, 31, Portland.
Hey, what's up, guys? Get it on.
Hi, guy.
Hi, Devin. Hi, guy.
Mm-hmm. What you got,
Devin?
Good
to talk to you guys. I got a little house here. I just bought a bunch of vinyl flooring. I'm going to do the whole place. And I started ripping up the carpet. I knew the vinyl side, the bathroom, kitchen, dining are all, or linoleum, rather. Mm-hmm. There you can clearly see some differences in height where it looks like they put different thickness subfloor down. And so that's one issue. But then I pulled up the carpet and there's probably 10 spots within the house under the carpet where the subfloor is a different thickness. So I guess question one is how do I get that level? I'm not necessarily wanting to replace the whole subfloor. And then the transition from the bathroom
Hold on. Yeah, what year's the house?
It's 59.
And so Devin,
is the subfloor 1x6 or is it plywood?
It's plywood, but different thicknesses of plywood.
Understood. And it's
and then Devin, is the linoleum the kind that comes up and can break like a plate of glass, or is it the pliable kind?
The stuff underneath the carpet is partially linoleum, and that's the shardy stuff. So I'm sure that's asbestos related.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Bag that stuff and go ahead.
Yeah, that stuff. I figured, just entomb it, call it good. The stuff in the kitchen and the bathroom and dining room, that looks like the newer like big roll on stuff that they put.
That's fine.
Pliable kind of newer.
Yeah.
So subfloors, different subs. Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 1959 plywood. That thing.
It could have been replaced. Because underneath, if you go to the basement and look up, then it's 1x6.
Running
diagonally.
And then do you have transition scenarios?
Hold on, I'm pissed because I thought it was 1x6. And it was 1x6. But it got plywood put over it. See, my brain was racing because I was like, they wouldn't have used plywood subflooring in the 50s. I don't think. But somebody went over it, over the 1x6 with the spaced sheathing of that 1x6. Somebody went over it, Devin, with plywood, right?
That's my guess, yeah. Because if I go to the basement, just like you said, it's 1x underneath.
Mm-hmm. Diagonally with like a quarter inch in between or something like that.
Yep.
God, that was subflooring, man.
So much work, wasn't it? So much work.
How about doing lath? How about old school lath, man?
Oh, forget it. I mean, people were better. That's just the way it is. They were better and more skilled, and they had a higher quality work ethic. Anyway, enough about my whining. Please, Devin, continue.
So is there a bunch of stuff on the plywood subflooring, like cabinetry, kitchen cabinets, like that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, well, we got the kitchen, all the cabinets, and then the bathroom. It looks like they put the shower on one thickness subfloor, and then that's the major jump from heights is right next to the shower, right where the bathroom door swings. So that's my other problem, is that it right now as it sits, the door swings on that higher on that higher subfloor. The other question is, what the heck do I do with this door once I rip this linoleum out or put the vinyl right over the linoleum? Is now I'm going to be really rubbing.
Yeah. Okay. So the problem with like a feather float type of product is it's more made for concrete than it is for plywood. There's probably
unless you're gonna, so I know where you're going. It seems like there's two schools of thought. If you do the feather float and sandwich a new substrate for your new linoleum to go over it, so now we make one level everywhere, that's one way. And it will sandwich, and that stuff, even if it does kind of crack up a bit, it will never come untombed, versus the other thing where we rip everything out to zero and start over. What would you do, Adam?
Well, the everything out to zero, it's going underneath the shower, I guess. It's, you know, I don't know. It's a mess. Hey, Devin, there's a version of this where you take sheets of, you can get Luon in like eighth inch, right? You could build up the low part with Luon or something thin. You know what I mean? I don't know what the difference is. What's the difference in heights? Quarter inch?
Masonite. You could use Masonite too if you wanted.
Yeah, you could use, right. Okay. There's a version of this where you build up the low end with material, and it's Masonite or Luon. And, you know, subfloor. Use something with a notch trowel or something, like some mastic or something.
Right, because if you try and blast nails in that stuff, it puckers, and then it fucks up the look of your new linoleum. It shows up in the linoleum, the puckering from the nail gun, unless you get it just right.
You're saying put that Luon or something and get it stuck down, some adhesive or something, notch trowel, whatever, and then go over it with all that feather float to kind of even everything out?
Not really. I'm just saying bring up the low end to the high end with Masonite or Luon.
Okay.
I mean, I'd have to kind of be there. I can't totally picture everything. Look, obviously the best would be, you know, just torch the whole place and collect from the insurance company. This sounds like a fucking pig fuck to me.
That whole door scenario, it'll go away in flames. That's what we're after.
But
yeah, this isn't a recorded call, right? But
you don't look, the best way would just be start fresh with a sturdy floor, you know, but in lieu of doing that, then I would build up the low end with material and try to stay away from doing a feather float or something. Now, there is a float that's probably for wood. Maybe you'd have to prime the wood so it wouldn't absorb it. I don't know what kind of float you could float on to Masonite. It feels like that would pop. But there's stuff that has a little more acrylic in it and has a little more flex to it. You know, there's a kind of hard rubber. There's a hard rubber version of this float versus a cement based version of this.
Customs makes the one that has admix in it that's self leveling, which you could use as long as you sandwich it with whatever your underlayment is for the linoleum. Mm-hmm. And can you afford to build the subfloor up, which will now be like another almost 3/4 inch after you've done everything? And then is the floor super high at all the transitions? That's what you got to figure out. And all is right. That okay?
Let me hit JB Weld here. DIY projects. You want to get through some of those? You want to save some money? You don't want to pay the repairman or have that guy trouncing through the house with your elderly mom in your office, exposing her to God knows what. Big or small repairs. Home or garage, ordinary household glue. It's got the word ordinary in it. You don't need that. You need JB Weld. Proud to have JB Weld as a sponsor. They're great. I know the owner. Hung out with that guy at SEMA. Used the JB Weld Super Weld, the one part, super fast stuff. I used it the other day on my phone. I had that little circle, metallic circle that was stuck onto the back of the phone so I could stick it to the magnet on the dash. It popped off. So I used the JB Weld Super Weld, and I just fixed it in like 80 seconds. So you're a DIYer or you're a pro, you go with JB Weld. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. All right, replacing a garage door and then drainage. All right, just let me talk to Scott real fast. And then drainage, we'll go to drainage.
Maybe we should do drainage first.
No. All right. I'm already here.
Scott, 45, Portland.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, guy.
Hey. All right. Hey, first of all, I want to say thanks, man. This is like the fourth time I've asked for help from you both. You know, so you guys have really helped my house along. So first of all, thank you.
Well, what did our advice work the first three times?
It did. Yeah. I had a question on a porch, and Stromer suggested just put a beam in, I didn't even think of that. That was an awesome one. You guys helped me out on a deck question, and that helped out. And then I had a door that was not closing, and that was a recent one, and that helped out. And so now I've kind of moved on to the garage.
All right.
Can I just tell you what this feels like for Adam and I? Do you remember, Adam, when you first had Sonny on the brand new bike at Christmas time, and you had that last moment where you just pushed the seat off, and lo and behold, he rode that thing on his own down the street without falling sideways? Mm-hmm. That's the feeling that we get when we help our listeners.
That's right? True. I was picturing that. That
oh, it's not the Adderall? No.
It is the Adderall.
All right, go ahead. What do you got?
So I got kind of a beat up garage aluminum door, and I thought about just replacing the panels. I see there's a kit at Lowe's, and it's just a single garage door. But my question is the big spring. I've never had to deal with one of those. I don't know. Have you messed with one of those? I can find some YouTube videos, but.
That will fuck your
shit thing
up.
Is that thing that will fuck you up so bad. Okay. You got to be really all careful. Right. Yeah.
You got to be careful with those springs. They can really be dangerous.
Okay.
Are you thinking about reskinning the door? What are you thinking about?
No, because there's only like four panels to replace, and the bottom two have been months from the previous owner, and so instead of just replacing the whole thing, I thought, well, maybe I need a new spring. And I kind of watched a few videos where you kind of have to have like some certain pry bars to go into the notches on the spring to keep it from, unwinding. But yeah, I do need to kind of release that tension, I guess, so I can get to the boards themselves.
But what's the ultimate plan for the garage door?
To make it look nice. It's I just bought the house. It's got, it looks like it's been run into by the previous owners, the bottom ones.
But how are you going to make it look nice?
A new skin. Yeah. New front, replace the panels, for about $300. I've had estimates from Sears and, they're trying to upgrade me to things I don't want. And, looking at $1,000 bill. And so for $300, I thought, I can do it myself.
All right. Well, let's talk about this, because I've had my experiences with garage doors, and none of them have ever been good. I've had some bad experiences with garage doors. The garage door, do you park your car in the garage?
No.
And so it's closed most of the time?
Yeah, correct. When I get home, it's the easy access to the backyard and the walkthrough. And
do you have an electric opener?
Yes.
And how's that action? I mean, is it working okay?
It's fine. It's loud, but that didn't seem to be the main issue. Just cosmetics is what I was kind of upgrading to.
Also, you got to really think about it when you take a look at your home. And you look at the front of the house, kind of depending on a few factors, but your garage door is, 25% of the front of your house, like visually.
True.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
And
yes.
And it's also for me, it's the kind of thing that I just use all the time. And my feeling is upgrade to something nice, like Spend the money. Spend the money and get something nice. Now, they ain't free and they ain't even cheap. But if you take a house and you're just going pure curb appeal, and you got you got the old tin door, the plywood door, the painted door versus a nice aluminum framed one with glass panels or something like that in it, you just added X amount to the price of your house. I mean, whatever you put into that door, I say you're going to get twice as much out of your house as you invested in the door. So if I had the money, and also you have to kind of think about your time, and there's a danger factor. And also, what do we do with the aluminum? You know, we bang it out, we put a little Bondo on it, we paint it. How good does it look when we're done? Still looks like a older style garage door. I would, if you have the money, I would think about farming this one out, just stepping it up. And the guys, by the way, they'll come in, they'll remove the old door, they'll throw it up on the rack of the truck, they'll handle the springs. You get rid of the old spring and hinge mechanism and maybe you put a track in there. You know, you upgrade the opener. I mean, it's not going to be cheap or free. What it is, but you also kind of say to yourself, like, do you open this garage every single day? Do you walk through this every single day? Do you see the front of the house as you come home every single day? Does everyone in the neighborhood see it? You know, I don't pitch that hard when people are talking about, I'm thinking about building a gazebo with a hot tub in it. I'm like, I've done that. I used a hot tub 3 times in the time I owned the house. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, it's fine, but this is a everyday kind of move. Like I do, when I tell people who are buying tools who want to save a couple of bucks, I'm like, don't do it. Step up. Get the good stuff. You're going to use it. If you're using it, I bought a coffee maker. It was like $100. I bought a new coffee maker. I was like a Target. I set the whole thing up. I put it in. I grabbed the thing, and I was like, I tried to swing the door open to fill it. It like fell off. The button, it was kind of facing the wrong direction. The button seemed counterintuitive, and I literally walked into work the next day and I just said to Matt, go online, find me the best fucking coffee maker for $175. But here's why. Because I use that coffee maker every single day. Every single day. I don't feel that way about shoes. Like, I don't need $1,000 pair of loafers. I'm not going to use them. But when it comes to something that you're going to deal with, interact with, like I said, a coffee maker, a garage door, step it up, man.
I get it. Okay. No, I appreciate all the input. Yeah, no, it is what it is, you know, and that, you know, maybe I can update the quote or get a couple other, you know, estimates out there.
I'm looking at it.
What was the quote, by the way?
I said it was $1,000 from Sears.
Oh, just to replace the same look to what I've got, and they're just going to, you know, haul all the old stuff away and, you know, do all the work.
Yeah.
How much?
Well, it was $1,000 compared to $300 where I could do it, you know, where I could buy the kit, you know, at Lowe's compared to
Sears. I'm with Adam on this because $300 and no arm after the spring snaps it at the shoulder, forget it.
I'm with me on this one too.
A hook for a hand, forget it. I like you with two hands. I don't want to see that hook.
I'll give you a quote. Pay someone to do your fucking door. Brian?
Yeah, the quote, circa 2020, Adam Carolla. Here's the quote.
Brian's got drainage. Sorry, Brian. Oh, sloppy shit, thirds, Brian. From Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey.
Where is?
Hey,
rerun.
Hey, guys. Hey, sorry to make you guys answer your least favorite question, but I'm rich and I live on the water, so the problem I have is with drainage in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get a really hard rain, as you can see, there's some pictures I sent through. So everything drains to the middle, and it just sort of stays there.
Yeah, we're looking at it on the lawn. You got a lake in the back?
Yeah.
What do you got there?
Yeah, I'm on a river that connects a couple lakes.
Nice.
Winter. So, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
The problem I have is I can't put a French drain because there's nowhere for the water to go, right? A French drain has to drain. Normally, you would drain it to the street or whatever, right? Well, I'm below street level in the backyard, and I don't. My seawall's too high where if I put a French drain in, I can't get the water up over the wall without drilling a hole in the wall, which sort of defeats the purpose, right? Because when the water gets high, it's just going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't do a dry well. I looked at that. I thought a dry well would work, but the water table is like 24 inches.
Do you walk along this route to get to your seawall or get to your deck out there?
Yeah, unfortunately. I told my wife, let's just put bunch of rock there, like what call it a rain garden or whatever, and she said absolutely not, this is the way we get to the dock. And I'm like, all right, well, that just makes it more complicated then.
Well, so what about doing, like, you know, literally like a slab above grade and just making it a true walkway and let the earth do what it does, because you can't have runoff and drainage into the river anyway because it's illegal in terms of the city, right? Nothing's supposed to drain into that river.
Right, and they're real anal about keeping the rivers clean and stuff because we have a real bad algae problem here, so I'd probably get in trouble if I drain it in there anyway.
I'm kind of picturing, I mean, this ain't...
Or even deck. What about decking?
That's what I'm picturing.
You know what I mean? That'd be cool.
I'm picturing like a teak deck that just like a walkway, like a pier that just goes there.
Okay,
now,
okay.
Opic. What the hell's that? What the hell's that African?
Sapile?
I think it's opic.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Opic. I don't know.
Ipe.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. What about a beautiful deck? A beautiful strand, a pier, a walkway, you know, 4 foot wide, 5 foot wide,
yep.
just a foot above the ground, just walking it straight on out to the dock.
That. That's the best thing yet, Adam.
All right.
So then underneath, I would just let the water just, it can just be
let
underneath.
Let it do what it does. Matter.
Let it be.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I would say... How do we do this pier, this path? How do we do this?
Well, now, are you coming off of a deck from your home when you get to this point?
Yeah, so we have a concrete slab on the back porch that just leads to the lawn and then, you know, out to the pier.
Yeah, is the slab and the lawn the same elevation? Looks like it.
The slab is slightly below it, which is another problem. Water stops there, but I'm more concerned about the middle of the yard.
Yeah. I think there's a...
I think that'd be beautiful, man.
Yeah, I do too. So there's a stage one, stage two, and stage three version of what we're talking about.
Okay.
I was looking on... Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Could you do a ledger right off the sliding door from to the backyard and just deck the whole thing, make it into a deck slash walkway and just bypass everything?
It's a lot of work, but they have...
God, that'd be cool.
They have, you know, they have prefabbed outdoor decking units that are 2 foot wide and 4 foot long. And they're like grids. And you can... put two of them together and you could get 4 foot by 4 foot each time you double them up. And then, you know, Brian, you should go online and look at roof decks and roof deck.
Okay.
You know, they have like modular material to put a deck. Like, let's say you live in Chicago and you live on a, you know, in a condominium that's 3 stories tall and you want to do those, you know, those Michelob Ultra commercials where all the good-looking people from all the different ethnicities are drinking a Michelob Ultra on the roof?
Sure. That's not my life, by the way.
But they're not drinking
Well, yeah, they're holding them. Right, they're holding them because it would be illegal to show them drinking.
That was never my life, but I wanted it to be.
I always wanted to get invited to one of those parties. I never made it either.
I never did.
But they have prefab Gary, go to online. Go to roof decks. I don't know.
And can we do this so it doesn't look like a handicap accessible ramp? Like, is there enough style in terms of his architectural design of his home that make it work?
I'm trying to think of, like, what do we do with the piers and the pier blocks and the pylons? Or do we make it kind of floating and we just kind of put it on the earth? Or do we put, like, railroad ties every 4 feet and just kind of
skin it? I think you do posts and make it like a deck with a walkway and a handrail that ties into the architectural style of the house.
Right. But then how do we do those? I mean, we're just going to dig those posts and pour them, huh?
Just dig them, pour them, man. Get them in there deep enough to withstand all that water that always happens.
Brian, are you up to that challenge?
Sure. I'm going to rebuild that pier this weekend, so I'm up to about anything.
I mean, so. And you could put ambient lighting, you know, that casts downward. It would be absolutely beautiful. It could be the talk of Madison, I'm telling you.
What's the style of the house, Brian?
It's like a mid-80s, it's a split level, so I don't know what the style is. It's got like aluminum siding.
Gary, did you find that? Let's see, there's a website that's has materials for outdoor decks.
Yeah, you sort of trailed
off. Rooftop decking.
And then Gary, if you could get a couple images for me of girls at an ethnic fancy Michelob Light party and send those to me as soon as possible. Thank you.
The outdoor decks, they have these leveling little bases that you put on top of the roof on the rooftop deck because the pitch changes, obviously.
I see.
And then these pieces go over the top and lock into it. Now, you wouldn't be able to use that unless you poured a pad for those, and then you could use those. So let's see, Gary, rooftop decks, you're going to see fake grass. You're going to see tile, like lightweight concrete tiles, and you're going to see wood. And the wood is going to be 2x2 or 4x2, and it's going to be modular, and it's going to be that EPEX stuff or whatever. I found it the other day. I just typed in like rooftop deck, whatever. It's a place that sells all the materials, sells the risers, those are like the feet and the legs for it. All right, I'll buy you a minute.
Adam, doesn't that river come up and down level wise, like in terms of catastrophic flooding? Maybe.
The last couple of years we've had high water. It's been in the yard. It hasn't come to the house. In general, it doesn't go over my seawall.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I'm thinking that bridge. That bridge is the answer. I'm telling you, that's the way to go. Great idea, Adam.
Gary will find the 2x4 foot wood grate. I would call it a grate. I don't know what to call it, but they make this stuff. It's prefab. It's obviously weatherproof. It's for being outside. On that website you got there, I don't know, probably say products or wood products or something like that, and you scroll down, and you'll see these panels. And you obviously have to put them down on something you make, but it looks pretty good. It looks pretty teaky, and it's got it's like 1x3 strips. All right, let me hit Zeter Site Solutions here. One-stop partner for temporary services like portable toilets, dumpsters, storage containers, office trailers, and temporary fencing as well. Instead of multiple companies and invoices with unexplained charges, make one call to Zeter's for your dedicated account manager, streamline invoicing, and upfront pricing. Zeter services more than 5,400 sites on any given day, family-owned and operated since 2009. They've worked with almost 25,000 companies, remote technology solutions, so account managers can still work from home during COVID-19. If you're starting a project and you need some fencing or you need some portable toilets or an office or storage, all that stuff, don't go with a bunch of different companies. Get it all under one roof and get all the invoices down to one. Get your services streamlined with no hidden fees. Visit Zeters at Zeters.com or give them a call, 888-64. Zeters. Gary, that panel, it's on that website. I got materials. What do you got? Nothing? There they are. But that, yep. But now they make a 2x.
That's beautiful.
They make a 2x4 now.
I was concerned it was going to be too industrial. No, that's great looking.
1x3.
They make a 2-foot by 4-foot panel that is on that site. There it is. And there you go. I think you could take that.
Oh, that's cool.
You can scroll down, Gary, and you can find the 2-foot by 4-foot panel.
It's right here, but when I click
on it. No, that's 2-foot by 2-foot. 2-foot by 4-foot. There you go, right? Am I making that up?
What's
it's 24x48. Right. There you go. All right. That took longer than I thought, but there you go. There's your panel, and the panels you could just drop in. Now,
and it's all real wood. It's not synthetic, correct? Oh, that's great looking, man.
I think it's what kind of wood?
So are you saying you would
Ipe? Yeah.
But real fast, Stromer, sorry to interrupt, but for our caller who can't see this, we're on tiletechpavers.com.
Yeah, it's interesting. You could learn some. You could. I'm not saying you do it this way. I'm saying it's a possibility to sort of do it in a modular way.
I like.
And would you do a steel frame, or would you do like wood frame and then insert those panels? What are you thinking?
I'm going to put it back up here because it looks like they have their own sort of.
Yeah, they have the riser system, but for leveling. But I wouldn't do that.
No, because I can't sit on that grass. It's got to have
no.
a little.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you went with that system, you'd have to pour a pad.
Right.
But I would do it. I might just buy these panels and then just frame it out and just lay these panels on top. Possibly.
Yeah.
You know.
And insert them. The good thing about that too is that if they rot, you could get rid of them and replace them easily. That's a great idea.
The good news is we turned your drainage question into a woodworking question.
Of course we did, because we hate drainage.
I like it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brian. You know, in the bigger picture of things, there you don't have to build everything from scratch. There are ways to kind of integrate stuff that's prefabbed into stuff you build. Kind of reminds me, my old grandpa, Laszlo Gorog.
God, do I miss him.
I miss that guy. He was the only good Corolla, and he did.
Well, he made the goulash,
right?
That's the guy that made the goulash, yeah.
He made the goulash, and he made the spretzel, and he made the chicken paprikash, and he made fish stew. He did it all. But every once in a while, Laszlo, he would bust out a TV dinner. And the TV dinner that he would bust out was the enchilada rice and beans TV dinner. Overlooked oftentimes. Had a big enchilada, big cheese enchilada, I think, in it. But you know what he would do? He would make that TV dinner, but then he would like chop up some tomato, throw it on top, put a little extra cheese on there. He would take this stock TV dinner and kind of put his own flavor on it, you know?
So he gussied it up a little bit.
He gussied it up. And what I'm saying is there's a way to take things that exist, like a base, like these panels that we're just talking about, and incorporate them into your custom bespoke project.
100%.
All right.
Wisdom is, you know, when you reference the great Laszlo and his Hungarian mastery and somehow tie that into fine home building, this is why you get the big bucks. Am I right?
Yeah. All right, we got a question.
That's Hungarian wisdom.
We got an email question, Matt?
Yeah, we got a video question. This is from David in Manteca, California, which I looked up. It's kind of between Stockton and Modesto. And as always, email us, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com.
Ace, Stromer, get it on. Had a little mishap this weekend cleaning my pool filter.
Ooh,
didn't have
that.
It tightened down quite enough as I was turning it back on. Damn thing blew off, flew up to the roof.
Wow.
And I don't know if you can see it, but it knocked some tiles loose. Good news is that apparently there was a wasp nest underneath that tile up there. The bad news is now I've got a tile that's knocked loose, knocked some of the some of the nails loose as well. I guess they're down here somewhere, although I don't see them now. They were here somewhere. Anyways,
do you think it's just a question of getting up there and nailing everything back in and hoping for the best? It looks like some of my stucco might have been knocked out too, and you can probably see if I zoom in here, some of the wood got chewed up. That thing, apparently it flies. It's a good thing my head was not near it when it blew. Anyways, any help you can provide me would be great. Get it on.
Listen, people don't realize the insane amount of pressure with pool filters. I've done the same thing with mine, where when you take that restraining strap off, you're trying to clean the grates, it can blow your head out. I mean, it's insane. You got to be super careful. And that's hilarious. And I'm amazed it went that high. That's huge.
It's funny. That's all Grandpa Laszlo would do. It would be out there putting the diatomaceous earth in there, changing the filter, cleaning. He lived. They had a pool that was the size of a pond. I mean, it was literally a hand-dug pool with no heater in it, but he would always be out there mussing around with that filter.
Is this your dad's dad?
No, this is nobody's dad. This is a stepdad, a step-grandfather. Nobody.
To who?
My mom was raised by her grandparents, who she thought were her parents, because she was taken away from her single mom and taken to Child Protective Services when she was young, and they wouldn't give her back. It's a little dubious.
Sounds a bit like kidnapping.
I don't know. Can anyone make sense of this story? I said to my grandmother once, what was the story behind mom being raised by her grandparents and not you? And here was my grandmother's story, which doesn't hold together very well, in my opinion. She said she had my mom young. She was with her, I don't know, husband who was abusive, who she tried to get away from or whatever. She was going to some event or something, and she gave my 2-year-old mom to the upstairs neighbor in her apartment building and said, could you babysit my daughter? I'm going out tonight. And the woman in the upstairs unit said, yes, I will watch your daughter. Then my grandmother went to this event. And then when my grandmother came home, my mom was gone. And my grandmother said to my mom, this is according to my grandmother, my grandmother said to the neighbor, where's my daughter? And the neighbor said, I gave her away to Child Protective Services.
You think there's any possibility that your mom is the Lindbergh baby?
So now, look, I don't know how much babysitting cost back then, and I don't know protocol for tipping or etiquette, but I'm guessing that's going to hurt your you may get no tip at that point.
Right.
I mean, that's a big deal. You just kissed your tip goodbye. According to my grandmother, then I said, well, then why didn't you just go to Child Protective Services and go get your daughter? And she's like, they wanted money, or they wouldn't give her back. I said, okay. Then I said, why would the upstairs neighbor give your daughter away to Child Protective Services, knowing you were going to come back and want your daughter, what would motivate her to do this? Because that's, I always, you know what I say to everyone? What would they say? Like, why would they do? I don't get what's in it for them. She said, the upstairs neighbor had it in, and it had it bad for her husband. The upstairs neighbor had a crush on her man. And she knew we were moving out, and she thought this was a way to get us to stay. Why would that get you to stay? You're giving away the daughter.
Also, wouldn't that, I mean, I know the guy was abusive, but is his kid going into the system going to make him hot for her?
I don't know why. That was my grandmother's theory. Although, who knows?
Did they want to get the kid out of the way so that they could be together?
I do not know. That was her version. Then,
by abusive, what did that mean? He was like a guy that beat her, or more like, what did he do?
I don't drill down that hard when I hear about the abuse. Yeah. You know, turn the page. You know what I mean? So the parents, the grandparents, my mom's grandparents went and collected my mom from Child Protective Services and then raised her for 10 years.
All right. But I guess the real question is, who got the goulash recipe?
At some point later on, both parents died, and then my mom was collected by my grandmother, who then had met the Hungarian man and married him. So it all worked out. Except,
but he turned out to be a good guy, though, right? That guy was great.
He turned out great. My mom, not so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, all I care about is the recipe. That's the
Hungarian,
the
goulash.
Sorry about your lineage and all that, but as long as the goulash is protected, we're fine.
All right. Hit your spot for Geico, and then we'll hop on with Court.
Guys, it's an incredible time out there, and Geico is doing absolutely everything that they can to make this happen. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. RVs are huge right now. Everybody's taking them out, using them to vacation. Got to get those policies going. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make your breakfast in bed? Heck no, that's never going to happen. But you saving money can. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit Geico, G-E-I-C-O, geico.com to learn more. Geico.com.
All right, we got a load-bearing question, which I always appreciate. That's Patrick from Vacaville. Hey, Patrick, 39.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Stromer. How you guys doing?
Hey. Good.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, so second house remodeled, kind of did the work on the first one. This one's kind of overwhelming. It's 4,200 square feet. I got a 32 by... I'd say 60 foot, I don't know, it's four rooms. I'd like to turn into one. Mm-hmm. It's a bi-level house. So the first floor is like two-thirds of it is semi-underground. Hmm. I'm on 2x10 floor joists on, 12-inch centers? Yeah, the wide ones, or 18-inch centers.
It could be 12, 16. It could be 16, it could 16 be 24.
24.
I got the print. That's another reason why I bought the house, is I have the print. But anyway, I'm trying.
You have the blueprints. Okay. Plans. Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So what I'm scared about is, where do I go get some muscle to help me to do some of this? I can obviously find the engineer and the stuff like that, but I can't go down to, Home Depot and grab some guy off, some knucklehead off the street to help me, do this. I kind of grew up around the industry. My dad is a general contractor. More of a handyman side. I started out with him. We were poor. I ran back and forth getting tools from the truck, and now that skills have now built myself small little empire. And this is just such a massive project I've never been able to do. And where do you find somebody like that?
You need, you know what I mean? You need labor.
Yes, sir. Somewhat semi-skilled labor.
And to do all the demo and then do all the building and all that stuff?
Well, I'll do the demo. I don't mind doing taking things apart and putting it back together. I just need some help to shut up and pay attention, lift here, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I would suggest? I have found in the past, I don't like doing the big box store pickup because a lot of those guys are just drunk as hell laying on the lawn and stuff, and I haven't found much success. Yes, but if you go to the quality paint stores in the early morning, there are always about 50 painters hanging out. And I find that painters lead to other tradespeople. So if you find one good guy or two guys, okay, they can refer you to other folks in the industry. That's sort of like a great melting point for finding skilled labor. Cool. That's the way I feel like the painter side of things is, it's less sketchy than just some guy in the parking lot.
See, I do. I'll use teenage runaway prostitutes. So that a boy, direction. Yeah,
you
will.
Where do you find those? You got to go to Epstein's Island.
Oh, you? Well, I'm in L.A., so I can. You know, I just swing a cat and hit five of them.
The difficulty, though, is finding the multi-size. Yeah.
The cat's always pissed, but it works.
Hey, Adam, I'm a huge fan. Thanks for everything. The whole winter thing that you do from time to time. I'm on my second house, 6 acres, self-built, all that. Huge fan. Looking at buying a vintage race car, too, because you've kind of inspired me.
Winner.
But I'm more on the NASCAR side. I'm looking at buying one of $1 million Bill Elliott's cars.
Oh,
so
really?
Maybe one day I'll see you out there on a race.
Well, you know, the thing about how far is Laguna Seca from Vacaville? Probably not that closer than
I mean,
that.
I got a truck and a trailer, dude. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, here's the thing about the NASCAR. They don't really have a class for them in the vintage world, or they're not as much. You feel me? So if you get a NASCAR, that's fine. It's two and a half hour drive. Not too bad. If you get a NASCAR, that's fine. But be prepared to not have a lot of NASCAR, vintage NASCAR-centric events. There's probably more opening up now. But if you wanted to go racing, you'd probably want to get yourself like something different, like a Datsun 510 or some version of that.
I've done the 510s. I've done the air-cooled V-dubs and that. I wanted to do something like that, like a DEI car or something that might be worth something and then something I remember as a kid. But no, I get where you're going.
Yeah,
so like a Formula V.
Yeah, again, like sometimes those races will have Formula Atlantic. Sometimes they'll have F1. You know, they have vintage F1 now, which is really cool over at Laguna Seca. But if you got a Formula V, I don't know that there's a class that would be running that vintage race for that. So, you know, and thanks, Patrick. So if anyone wants to go vintage racing, that's fine. But figure out, make sure, find the class and then get the car. Don't go get the car and then find out there's nowhere you can run it. You know what I mean? You get a 1989, you know, Chevy Lumina that Dale Earnhardt Jr. drove or something, and there's no race for it. See what I'm saying? Have any questions about vintage racing, Stromer?
You know, I just watched the Ford Ferrari movie, man, and that was an incredible film, I thought. Fantastic.
Ford v. Ferrari?
Yeah. And yeah. I had no idea it was that was the world that Shelby lived in. That was so cool. Yeah. By the way, isn't there some theory that guy is still alive somewhere and hiding?
Shelby?
The Christian Bale character? No, Christian Bale guy.
10 Miles.
Oh, 10 Miles?
The driver.
Nah.
10 Miles, yeah. There's some theory that he's still like creeping around out there somewhere.
I think that's your theory. Doesn't mean it's not a theory.
No.
I'm sorry.
I got all
10 Miles alive and well in Wisconsin? Wait a minute. So says Car Driver.
I got all those hopped up images from the prostitutes in hot pants that you were talking about before. I'm sorry.
Get yourself a, is that true?
There he is. See? Yeah.
Extensive research suggests that star race driver Ken Miles might have survived the reported fatal crash at Riverside on August 17, 1966. Gary, what?
When I don't know, man. I'm searching based on what he's
telling me. When did this article come out?
2003.
What?
I'm telling you. And he's running a deli somewhere in Wisconsin right now.
All right. So, Patrick, if you want to do some vintage racing and you like Ford v Ferrari, you could get one of those GT40s for $20 million and go race it. Or the Ferrari P400 or P300, whatever. You can get that for $45 million and go racing. Court 41, Tucson.
Yeah.
What's going on, Court?
Hi, guy.
Hi, guy.
How you doing?
Hi, guy.
Yes. Got the Masters on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is my issue. I'm a contractor in Tucson, and I've got a bunch of gigs going on. And I can't find any guys that are willing to work, or they say they know how to do something, but they don't know what the hell they're doing. So, you know, how am I gonna find a crew, you know, so I can develop my business, you know, because I don't want to keep working. You know, by the time I'm 45, I want to be done with it and just handle a crew. But I tell you what, out here in the desert, it is slim pickings, you know.
You gotta dig deep and find those guys like I was talking about before and train up one or two guys to ultimately take over your crews. If you don't pay them right, they're going to leave and screw you and take your business. But you have to get somebody under you and really support them and get them to where they need to be. It's difficult, but you got to do it.
Yeah, it's hard to have it. It's hard. I have a pretty dedicated group of guys, and the first thing you have to realize is they're good, and when you're good, you have options. So if you hassle them, they'll go somewhere else. Right. If you don't hassle them, they have a lot of choices. It's like when the pilot, you know, when you land, and they go, "We know you have a lot of choices. We want to thank you for flying Southwest."
Yeah.
That's what you have when you're good. When you're a good carpenter, you're on time, you're sober, you're a good painter, whatever it is. You have a lot of choices. So you get, if you're a douche to these guys, or you hassle them. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the week, they go, "I got 41 hours. And you're like, 41 hours? You came in at 9 on Wednesday. Like you start getting into that too much, and they go find another home. So keep that in mind. All right, last but not least, JB Weld. Proud sponsor, Ace on the House. These guys have been around for over 50 years, and they're available at jbweld.com. Retailers everywhere, including Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts of Raleigh, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. JB Weld. All right, my book is out. It's now back on Amazon. They've replenished the reserves. They now have units to ship, and they will ship as we speak. So just go to Amazon.com, bookmark us, click through us. Leave a review, too. I will read your reviews and enjoy. I'm your emotional support animal. Stand-up shows going on all over the place, and you just go to AdamCarolla.com to find out when we're coming to you. We're coming to Texas coming up soon and Dallas, Addison Improv. So check all that out. Go to Chassis, Chassy.com, and check that out. Stromer, what do you got?
I'm building a day bed, boys, and it's king size and glorious. And it is, I'm telling you, I sit at the edge of my pool and I just look out at the thing I've done and I say to myself, that's right. That's what I say. That's right.
All right. So you can check out my YouTube channel doing stand up there as well. Until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Eric Stromer saying, mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com.
This is Corolla Digital.